Welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. This is Season 2, Episode 3. Today, our theme is the Transition Zone, a crucial phase of cultural adaptation. Join us as we visit again with the Damons and hear from them about how they've experienced the transition zone in the past and what it feels like to be entering into it again as they're leaving Omaha but have not yet left and are thinking about arriving but have not yet arrived in Berlin. Hey, Joel and Kate, welcome back to the Tracks Cultures.
Thanks. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, it's really fun doing this again. I mean, kind of our season two, and this time dialing into your guys' transition. And as I listen back to some of the episodes from Stephen and Jenny from season one, it's interesting to see where there are parallels and where there are differences. Mm. And I'm enjoying the process. The episodes we kind of just re-released yesterday were looking at 1 year since we had started recording. So it was kind of fun to listen again to where they were at finishing language school for a year and then thinking about where you guys will be at a year from now.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. That's exciting.
But before we get to a year from now, when you'll be coming out of some of the transitions, what we want to do now is enter into this idea of what does that middle zone look like? What does that transition zone really bring for you guys experience wise? And this idea that you've left or you're leaving one reality, but you haven't quite arrived in the new reality yet.
Yeah.
And that brings just a ton of ambiguity with it, because you know you're not really exactly the way you were, but you also can't quite imagine who you will be yet. The new has not yet replaced the old. And Bridges talks about it as almost like you're crossing a street and you're in the middle of the street. You've left one side, but you haven't arrived on the other.
Yeah, that is a very good description of how it feels right now.
I was about to say the only thing that would help is if it was maybe foggy in the description. You maybe can't see you don't know what the other side of the street is looking like necessarily. You can kind of make out a shape.
For sure. You kind of know that there is an end of the street, but you don't know how big the street is.
Yeah. Good description of like hiking.
Yeah.
So like when you are hiking, and we spent our 20-year anniversary hiking in the Tetons, and so many false summits, and you think you know when you're at the top and you're like, this is what it's going to look like, this is how I'm going to feel, and then you get to that summit and you're not there and you don't actually know what to expect. And yeah, so it's like, it's more like a winding road or a hike up a mountain. You don't, it's hard, but you're excited, but you don't know what you're going to see.
it's like running across a highway, you know, it's way farther than it looks. And it's the lanes are a lot bigger than you think they would be. You start to question what you got yourself into halfway across.
Have you ever done that, Joel?
Lots of times. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Well, before we jump more into the transition you guys are facing right now, are there transitions in the past where you've experienced this kind of neutral zone?
Yes. Joel and I had talked about this.
Yeah.
We didn't have a good transition. There was some church hurt, and we left a church that we had planted, and we jumped into the next season, next church, like full speed, instead of taking the time that we needed to rest and be taken care of. And we didn't take the time we needed to transition well from this church that we had grown from the ground up for 3 years into something new. And we just didn't transition well. We didn't take the time we needed, and we didn't recognize the feelings that we were feeling. And we just went full speed to the next one, and it didn't work. I need endings. Yep. And I'm realizing that now is that I really need endings, and I didn't take them for that. Joel, what you had an opinion on that too.
Yeah. We had left that church, and we were super involved there, but it was a church plant, and that, I think that happens. It kind of becomes a large part of your life. When we decided to leave, we knew we needed to be, in some sort of a church community, but what we tried to do was just keep doing the same level of activity and maintaining the same level of commitment to that church body that we had at the church plant. And the whole time we were brokenhearted and angry and like Kate said, this thing that we had built for years that we had committed to, was sort of crumbling right in front of us, and we just went and tried to recreate it over in someone else's sandbox. And I ended up like a volunteer on the staff within a matter of weeks, I think. And we were going there, and I dug in, and I think the interesting thing is, one, like Kate said, that was just the wrong thing to do. Also, I didn't see that probably wasn't the healthiest church that we ended up at. And two, Kate wasn't even, she wasn't even at home there. She couldn't find community. She just felt completely out of place there. And so that meant for us, like that wasn't a place for us. And so it was just like, we tried to just dive right back into what we were doing instead of taking the time to realize that things had changed, and to process that in a proper way.
Yeah, so you guys have seen kind of a big transition or a big neutral zone from leaving a church to going to another church. I think a lot of times people also miss the little transition zones that they enter into, like when you graduate from high school and you're like, the next phase of life hasn't started yet. You're not in college, but you're not in high school, or when you first get married. And when Alyssa and I got married, I was doing an internship at a church. We got married, started a new church position. And so we kind of went from single to married to in ministry together right away. And there was no real time for us to really process, well, what's just ended and what's begun. Yeah. I think sometimes those transitions can also have those weird neutral zone areas.
Oh, right. And I don't think we did that well either, because we graduated high school 24 years ago, and we got graduated in May, and then Joel and I met in August. And so we went from living at home to living on our own to inseparable within months. And we did the Midwest evangelical thing where we get married right away. And so we basically went from high school to marriage within a few years. And we didn't know what we were doing. We were not prepared to be married at 21. We were not prepared to live on our own. There was that in between, I think right after marriage, of still trying to figure out like, okay, well, what are we doing now? And
what is this?
We were acting like we were still dating and in high school when we got married, and like friends were more important and having a good time was more important than actually digging into our marriage. And we didn't prioritize. I also didn't know Jesus then either. I thought I did, and I didn't.
Looking back, what would you say were some things that worked really well when you were navigating through that neutral zone? And what were some things that really didn't work at all?
Having solid people around. Community.
Yeah, that having community and having people that could walk us through it. That happened not too far after we got married. We had the Prices. We met them at the front door of the church, and we were running late, and Dave Price said, "Nope, you're right on time." And that was our first Sunday there, and then they just took us under their wing and walked with us through the first few years of marriage, and they were like parents in a way that they would tell us that we should or shouldn't do things. And we're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And now looking back, it's like, that was actually a lot of wisdom. And like, as a 21-year-old, we were dummies and didn't want to let,
It's like, shut up, Dave. Don't tell me what to do.
And it was actually a lot of wisdom.
In the dark ages, you don't know how life works now.
Yeah. It's like, I can still hang out with my friends anytime I want. Yeah, so having solid people and actually people that cared about us. Yeah, so it was a lot of that. But yeah, the best thing we did was surround ourselves with people that actually cared about our well-being and wanted to see us as a couple thrive and just thrive in Jesus.
Would you add anything to that, Joel?
No, yeah, I totally agree. You know, having people around that shared our faith that also had been down that road before was just, I don't know. That's how we get just about anywhere, I think. That was so important.
Yeah, hindsight. They wanted the best for us.
In the cross-cultural transition handbook, yeah. There's a question to process through that says, did you at any time feel any of the following? This is not what I signed up for. I want to go home. I'm not sure who I am.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Why does God feel so distant? Do any of those resonate with you guys for looking at some of those neutral zone transitions?
Yes. All of the above.
Yeah. What was the second one? The second one resonated.
I want to go home.
Yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't it. But yeah, I get that a lot. Jeez. Yeah, that's just, I always feel like I just want to go back to before this happened. I want to go back to the beginning in some way. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, that whole loss of identity too. I'm not sure who I am right now is also sometimes a very real struggle.
With me with work, like I find a lot of enjoyment out of what I do and being helpful to people. And when I quit my job a month ago, I thought that was going to happen, but I truly just feel like this is my identity in Christ right now. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, because I do find so much purpose in like being good at what I'm doing, that even though I'm not getting paid, I'm doing the right thing. And this is like where I'm supposed to be right now. And it's been really comforting. And I don't feel that loss of identity without having a paying job in the corporate world right now.
I think we have terminology like coping mechanisms that we use in everyday life, but sometimes that almost has a negative tone towards it. When we talk about somebody's coping mechanism, sometimes what we're hearing is, oh, this person can't handle real life. And they're finding these coping mechanisms to try to deal with things. But in reality, we all have coping mechanisms. It's just what do we do to handle some of the stress or handle some of the challenges that we're having? And we'll do more on coping mechanisms later and talk about the different aspects of that. But even just throwing that phrase out there into the atmosphere now, what are some coping mechanisms that you guys found, good or bad, for processing through some of those transition zones for you in the past?
My unfortunate coping is distraction and just going and like watching Netflix or being on my phone. And that has caused more anxiety than actually helped. And recognizing that has been rid. And we are very fortunate that my safe space is Joel, so I can process it out loud with him and say, today I feel anxious and this is making me nervous. And we talk about it and then move on. I think the years of like therapy between Joel and myself of like, go for a walk. If you're feeling stressed or anxious, like you probably need to be out and go walk around the neighborhood. Or what I have been trying to do now is going on a hike alone and like praying for the 2 hours that I'm hiking. And that has brought so much more peace from the anxiety of the unknown. And Mike, you said before that you and I are like task-oriented people and we feel really accomplished with that. And stopping and not being able to do tasks and just spending time with Jesus is really the only thing that brings me like peace when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And that sounds like the church answer, but it's actually the true one too. Time with the Lord and like and processing out loud with Joel has been my coping mechanism that actually works instead of Netflix, because that just brings more icky and nervousness.
Yeah, my answer is similar, not with like the negative coping mechanisms, but the carving out time in the morning. I'm notorious for packing out my schedule way too much and just trying to handle everything I can. And for quite a while now, I purposefully wake up, you know, a solid hour before I need to be doing anything and just sit quietly. Listen for God, what might be trying to be communicated, and pray and read if I need to, or listen to music, or I don't know. But just, I think for me, right now. We have so much to do. And I'm not even, Kate has gone and left her job early so that she can just kind of help manage all the work that we have to do for getting ready to go to Berlin. And I think the natural reaction to say for me is if I have an hour of free time, it's I'll fill it with more of the work I need to do, and to purposefully take that and maybe waste it has been great. To take that and to say, like, I could be making progress on this, and instead I'm going to sit quietly and listen for my creator a little bit. I think that's a wise use of that time. And so it's helped make the stress of all this work that's ahead of us. I understand the importance of the work, but it doesn't feel so undoable. It doesn't feel so, you know, massive.
You guys will probably hear some of this when you start doing some of the pre-field experiences and before you head out. But I remember one guy from the Alliance sitting down with us and saying, there are some things that you get so caught up in the busyness that you forget to do, like listen to your favorite music or laugh. Like, find a comedian that you enjoy or a show that makes you laugh and put something on that helps you laugh sometimes so that you can get away from the overwhelming, oh, this is so serious. When we went 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago now, Facebook was kind of just getting started and Instagram wasn't as much of a thing. And they weren't warning us then. They were saying, hey, try not to stay overly engaged online. But I think there's this weird thing for people now. There's this sense of, well, I have to stay engaged. This is where people are seeing us do things. This is where people are interacting with us. So I have to be engaged online. Mm-hmm. But they miss the sense of what it does to you when you're seeing people live the normal life that you used to live. And now you're scrolling and it's not, oh yeah, I've been there. Or, oh yeah, I was a part of that. It's, yeah, that's where I would prefer to be right now. Or, oh, that's okay. Where. And so that doom scrolling can take on this other avenue of almost making you feel like you're still trying to cross the street with one foot connected to the curb that you left.
That's really good advice. Because I was even thinking
I never thought of it that way.
When I was looking, I was just going through Instagram and people hanging out with their friends, and I immediately looked at my calendar. I was like, when can I do that? And it was just like, it was a random thing. And I hang out with friends all the time, but it was this jealousy of, oh, I want to do that. And yeah, you're right. That's going to be hard when we are out of this country. And I see my friends doing things like that. Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah. And so what's going to happen also is that your friends are going to be looking at these posts of you in front of these, you know, European buildings or sitting at a European cafe and think, man, look at them. They're living their best life now.
Yeah.
Without realizing like the lostness that you're feeling. Yeah.
That's what I
didn't think about.
I'm thankful to not use that stuff.
I was thinking about, like, well, we need to have a good social media presence while we're there so people know what we're doing, and but that really does make sense because there's got to be a balance of what am I consuming and what am I showing. Am I not showing just the good stuff, but also not just the bad stuff? A lot of times I see people and I've seen missionaries just posting how terrible their life is, but God is good, and it's just like, ugh, I don't know. All about that. And so, like, where's the balance? And that's a good point. I'm gonna have to look at that one.
Yeah, I think this, you run a real risk of becoming like performative,
right?
Yeah, finding that balance of what is my managed social media presence look like without feeling like you're turning yourself into a fundraising brand.
Yeah, I like that terminology. That is something that I have to watch out for.
Because sometimes in that neutral zone, you'll want to use social media for different reasons. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, I just want to keep up. I mean, friends' kids are getting married or graduating from high school or events are taking place. And if I don't stay active on social media, I won't hear about it.
Yeah.
And it reminds you of the things you're missing out on. And so, okay, how do I manage that? And then the same on how much you're sharing about your life. Oh, look, Joel and Kate have it easy. They're just exhibiting art, sitting in language school, learning a new language. They're drinking in fancy schmancy European cafes and going to bakeries all the time. Or on the other hand, oh, those poor people, their life is just awful.
Right. We don't post the bad things because that's not fun to look at. So
finding balance is tough.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not feeling imbalanced yourself. Yeah.
So what I have done in the last few years is this, it's this app called 1 second a day. You, whatever picture, like I, with an iPhone, I have live photos. So that puts videos in there too. And so it puts together your year, like 1 second from every day you put in there. And it is a really beautiful way to see what, how your year looks like. Because the first year I did it, it was actually a super hard year, and you get through about half of the year.
It was the year that year that we were talking about.
Yes, with the church that we left the church. And so about halfway through the video, the last half of the year, all of a sudden there's laughter and there's joy. And like, it was really important. It's important to me now to record the bad things and let bad things happen and not hide bad things from the people I love, because they also want to be in on those. They want to pray for me and they want to be a part of it. And because of that app and that video of a, like my 4 minutes of the prior year, it showed that things ebb and flow. Like things are not always good and that's okay. And sometimes they're great and that's okay to share too.
You got to see, like, I think it's easy to look back on an entire year and just be like, that was a rough year or that was a good year or something. And that I never really thought about those videos, the 1 second a day videos showing you that, but you do get to see the actual flow of things and that the interruptions and the, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Those are powerful. It's a good thing to see.
I grew up in a household with an alcoholic mother and an absent dad. He was there, but he wasn't there. And so I was trained to never share the bad things. You only share what you want people to see at, like, especially at church. And that has been something that I am probably going to fight for my whole, like through my, the rest of my life too, is just the way I was trained. And it's like, no, my true friends and the people that love me want to know, they want to know good, bad, and ugly. And so that is actually something I'm going to probably struggle with while we are in Berlin, is not making everybody else wear rose-colored glasses when they view in. So I need to let people in, and I need to let people pray for me, and I don't need to clean it up before I show who I am. And that also, like, with salvation. Like, I didn't need to clean myself up before I came to the cross, but that's what I was trying to do. And I could never get there. And so that was the beauty of realizing that, like, I can never, ever, ever be clean enough. And that's the point. And so that's something that I want you both and everyone in the team to, like, know about me too, is like, don't polish it before you share it. It's like, I can be honest. And that's hard for me.
Yeah, I think that's hard for a lot of people. So maybe two more questions before we bring this episode to a close. The first being, looking back at some of the decisions that you made during the transition zones of the past, are there decisions that you say, oh man, I really wish I would have done something different, or I wish I would have handled that differently?
I think it's almost always talking about it, being open about it. I could probably say doing that sooner would be an answer for every single, like, when there's a tension or anything like that, when it comes to being in transition, I wish I would have spoken up about it to others sooner.
In the past, had I paused and not reacted emotionally in the moment, emotions are good. We all have them, but maybe wait a second and be still with Jesus before going on a emotional rampage of justice and what's right and what's wrong and who's wrong and who's right. Because in the past, especially when we left the church, we left in anger, and that was hurtful to people. And then when we had to go back and apologize in a very big way to people that were always good, but we were mad. So yeah, it was just like, had I paused and evaluated and actually spent time praying about it, I think it would have, I know it would have gone much, much differently. And I'm glad where we ended up now. And I'm glad for that process, because we made a lot of, there was a lot of good in it in the super hard pieces. But yeah, if I could go back, I would have paused and prayed.
If you could, like, let people have a little bit of insight into your life right now and say, hey, this is kind of where I'm feeling in this transition zone, what would you want people to know about what's going on internally for you guys while you're in this transition now?
I would want them to know that I am craving community with them, but I'm also feeling pretty sensitive and feeling, there's days where I'm completely overwhelmed and then other days where I'm feeling really good and I want to hang out and I want to talk about what we're doing. But yeah, I'm really sensitive right now and things are like major changes and major disruptions feel bigger than they would have 6 months ago. But I do, I want time to slow down a little bit and I want to spend more time with everyone. And I also need a little bit more time to get this stuff done. This is a lot. And so like I want them to know I'm so busy. And like people ask, like, well, what are you doing now that you're not working? And I'm like, I don't know if I can monetize it, but I'm so busy, but I want to linger in the doorway a little bit longer. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult, but I feel it for me, it's like a different difficult. It is like we talked about earlier, but I feel like we're sitting in the middle of the road. You know, it feels like one foot in one world and one foot in the other, but it's a life that we really are not going to be able to understand much of until I think we get there and start to experience things and see kind of what comes out of that. It's interesting. You feel like you're not walking blind, but you're really trusting the people that are guiding you because there's not a whole lot else to go on. You have people that, you know, are all around you trying to give you the best advice and you just kind of have to trust them because you can't see anything else in that. And so it's a strange place to be.
I feel really great about doing this with the Alliance. Like, I feel so supported. And I hate not knowing what I'm doing. That is one of the worst feelings for me, is not being the expert at it. And that is where I'm sitting right now. And Stephen talks about it in his book about how I'm just no longer going to be the go-to person. And that's a huge identity piece. And so, and even in the spot right now, I'm in between where I am not the expert at any of this and people aren't coming to me for help. And that, ugh, I hate that. Like, I love being that person. And it's hard. And I'm like reading that. And like, I was reading my notes that I wrote in the book and it was like, yeah, I love being the go-to person. That brings me joy. And I'm not going to be that person for years.
Well, we're gonna bring this conversation to a close, because what you're talking about now is role deprivation. And that's what I want to talk about in the next episode. So amazing.
Perfect.
It'd be a great segue. So we're just going to see you again in 2 weeks and talk about role deprivation.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us today on Tracks Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.